Nancy Lee DeMoss encourages moms to pray.
Don't get weary in doing well. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep laying hold of God. And realize the last chapter has not been written. That God is still writing that story, and your prayers are an important part of that story He is writing.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss. It's Thursday, August 14th. Yesterday, moms heard important counsel on prayer. We heard why our prayers as moms are so important, and we learned how to develop a consistent habit of prayer for our kids. We were joined by a mom who's learned the value of prayer, Marlay Gritter. And we were joined by Fern Nichols, president and founder of Moms in Touch International. We'll hear more of their conversation with Nancy Lee DeMoss in a series called How to Pray for Your Children. And we'll start with Fern.
I was very blessed to have a heritage of a Christian heritage. I've never doubted the Word of God. That is what the heritage has done for me. Everything in God's Word is true. And the over 7,000 promises in the Word of God are our inheritance. Why would we not spend it?
And why would we live as if we're bankrupt?
Oh, that's good, Nancy.
And he says he's faithful to all the promises, to 7,000.
He's faithful to all of them, but also what the Word of God does, even though some of the promises were for a specific time and a person, still the principle of that promise is for today. And so we are learning what we can just claim. He says, it's not my will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But there are also promises that he gave to Joshua that everywhere he put his foot, he would receive that land. So it's like we have to be careful how we use God's word. We have to rightly divide the word of truth. But I knew that my children, the way they would grow in the Lord is if they would love his word. And there's a verse in Colossians that talks about the word of God dwelling in them richly. I prayed that all the time for them, that they would love the word, that they would believe every single word that God has given us, his love letter to us, that they would be in the word, not just because I tell them to go to the word, but that they want to see it for themselves, know it, and not just read. I heard somebody say one time, it's just not reading words, it's hearing his voice as you're reading it. Well, how God answered this in one of the lives of mine, they all love the word today. It's so exciting. I could go down each child, but one in particular in his high school years was so drawn to the word of God. I prayed. I couldn't draw him to the word. It was the Holy Spirit that drew him to the word, and he decided that he wanted to memorize, I think it was 200 scripture verses just on his own. Well, he is a young man that's very organized, and so he has this big chart on his wall. And you walk in, and it's all these little handwritten scripture verses all across, like 200 of them that he had memorized. And I could go in, look at the chart, and say, Troy, what does Proverbs 1:7 say? And he knew. God answered far and so far above. I never would have even thought that this would so take hold, that prayer, in the life of my son. And he loves the word to this day. All my children do. And then to see my children pass that on to my grandchildren. And little JT, how he just loves memorizing the Word of God and how he is hiding it in his heart. It's a legacy of prayer that we are leaving when we are intentional about praying.
And that legacy didn't start with you.
No.
You had a praying mother. Tell us about her.
Oh, my goodness. My mom didn't know Jesus when I was little. Probably when I was close to 2 years old is when she gave her life to the Lord. And Nancy, it was through radio. She was drawn. She had a husband that loved her. She had four healthy children. She had a home. She had a car. But there was still something empty in her heart. And she didn't know how to fill that. And she was drawn to Christian radio every morning. So when she would make the breakfast for her family, she would turn on the radio and hear the Word of God. And And one divine, I'm so grateful moment, she prayed to receive Christ with the pastor that was on the radio that morning. And talk about total repentance and turnaround. I mean, it was like we were immediately in the church. And here's another way that God just had his hand on our family. It was like she didn't know what church to go to. She just knew that there's this nice little white church on the corner about 2 miles from our house. And it was a Bible-believing church. I'm so thankful for. And so all of us were in the church. I mean, we just didn't go Sunday morning. I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever the doors were open. And so it was through the salvation of my mom and her wanting to grow in the Lord that her greatest prayer was that my children would know and love Jesus.
And you saw your mom having a love for the Word?
She loved the Word, yes, and prayer. I mean, we would pray at the end of the day, either the Lord's Prayer or we'd each, you know, pray. Always knelt down by the bed. And then sometimes before we left, even go to the grocery store, she would pray just a prayer of protection on the family as we left. And every Wednesday night, she took us to prayer meeting. And I mean, I was little. My legs couldn't even touch the floor. They were just dangling in the pew, you know, and but I sensed and knew something powerful was going on. The atmosphere was sweet. I am so grateful for that legacy. I'm wondering if there's a grandmother, a great-grandmother down the road that prayed and it settled in the heart of my mom and is now passed down to me and my children and now my grandchildren.
I've often shared on Revive Our Hearts how it was a praying great-grandmother to me, who I never knew and will not meet this side of heaven, who I believe is humanly responsible for my family coming to faith in Christ. And I've shared the story of how my dad was not a believer, was not really in a believing home. My dad was a rebel. He was a gambler. He was just very, very far from anything that would have been a right course of direction for his life. My dad's parents and relatives were Greek immigrants, and there were two families living together in the same home. Two sisters married two brothers. The two couples and their four children between them lived in the same home. So some of you have heard the name Ted DeMoss, who was my dad's cousin and was involved with Christian Businessmen's Committee for many years. Ted and his brother grew up with my dad and his brother, these double first cousins. And Ted shared, he's now in heaven with the Lord too, but how he shared a bedroom when he was a little boy with Yaya, who was his grandmother, my great-grandmother. She didn't speak English. And he told how sometimes at night he would go to bed and she would be on her knees praying for that family, for the children and the grandchildren. He said there were times when he would wake up the next morning and she was still on her knees, having prayed through the night for that family. And thinking about my dad, who for so many years was so far from the Lord, and then how God amazingly, supernaturally captured his heart when the scripture says there's none who seeks after God, no, not one, it is true, and it was very true of my dad. But Friday, October the 13th, 1950, God brought him into a meeting where the gospel was preached. He was converted. His life was transformed. He never looked back. And then through another whole series of unrelated circumstances, God brought my mother to faith. God brought them to each other and started a whole new family line of grace and godliness and getting the gospel out. And I think how much of that goes back to a praying Yaya, great grandmother. And she didn't live to see most of those prayers answered. I think maybe she's seeing them from heaven. But I wonder how many of you in this room would say that your spiritual life today is in some way the product of a praying mom or grandmom, whether it was your mom or some other mom. But some mom, some grandmom, had her prayers had something to do with where you are today.
When I was about 4 years old, my grandmother and grandfather started to take me to church with them. My parents never went to church when I was small. And my grandmother would take me to all the services. Now we say, you know, we have to have children's church or whatever, but we just sat in the big services. And at 4 years of age, the Lord really spoke to my heart. And that's where I got to know him for the very first time. And then my grandparents would take me to their home every weekend, like from Friday to Sunday night, so I could be in the services and really grow in the Lord. They paid my way to youth camps. They just encouraged me in every way possible. And they're both in heaven today, but I know it's because of them that I am who I am.
Praise the Lord. Do you find as moms, Marley and Fern, that it's there are times when you're tempted to give up? Is perseverance, that's a part of the battle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. We call it the waiting room. Sometimes God puts us in the waiting room because he's got something so much better. You know, when we pray to God, it's not like Bewitched, you know, that TV series long ago where you just wiggle your nose and, you know, like we tell God something to do and he does it. You know, when we share God with God our heart concerning just a grief or a pain or a burden for whatever, God grieves with us and he understands, but he also has the best solution. And I think what's been so powerful in Moms in Touch is that it's constantly remind one another of that. God has the best plan. God is sovereign. He's the blessed controller of all things. He knows the plans that he has for your child, and it's for good and not for evil. And just that constant remembering, because we're such sheep, you know, and we go to our own self, our own motive, our own hurt, our self-pity. But yet when we bring it back to the throne room, it's just a wonderful reminder, especially with the body, that weight. Don't try to push this. Don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to get all your good plans going. Let God deal with it. His ways are perfect. And I tell the women, I say, how can you improve? How can I give God any suggestions on how to help his perfect plan?
But we love to.
And not that we can't share our heart with him and how we feel, but really the bottom line is, don't we want our loving Heavenly Father to have his way, his will in the situation? So yeah, the waiting room is not only a place to remember who God is, but it also strengthens our faith.
Don't you find, Marley, sometimes in the waiting room that the part of what the devil does is cause you to lose hope or to think, uh-huh, this isn't making any difference, nothing is going to happen, and the temptation to give up?
He loves to play that tape. The enemy loves to play that tape, and he gets us down. He loves to make us feel like it's all our fault as well, and you just get sunk in that, I'm going to give up, it's too hard, and that's very human. You know, Satan is a big liar, and he knows how to work with our emotions, I think, especially when it comes to our children, and you know that, of course, we want the best and the heartache that goes with it, but it really is true, like Fern said, that it's like, don't give up, Mom. Don't give up, because God does know. And, you know, we can always look back, can't we? It's when you're in it. We can always look back and say, okay, Lord, I know you wanted to teach me a lot in that too. I know you wanted to strengthen my daughter to be who she is and is becoming because of what she went through, but it's awful hard then. But we have to keep our eyes on him. We have to keep our eyes on, you know, who he is, because that doesn't change even though our emotions do.
And, you know, Jesus knew, Nancy, what you're talking about, too, the temptation to either give up or, you know, become hopeless. And he knew that in that humanness, that is just such a temptation. And that's why he is so sweet. In his word, he constantly, over and over, especially in the book of John, talked about, you know, not giving up. And in Luke 18:1, he says, do not give up. Don't get faint-hearted. Keep praying.
Tell about the story he told there. Luke 18, the widow.
Yeah.
He said men ought always to pray and not to give up, not to get faint-hearted. And then he told the story about the widow who had a need.
Oh, this widow. I love this widow. I mean, she went to this unjust, ungodly, mean, cantankerous. Well, those are a few words I've added to the Bible. judge. And there was something that in the law, I think, she came and she needed to have justice done for her. And this judge got so, you know, tired of this woman coming to him because he never would do anything to help her. She was a nuisance. She was a bother. But she kept coming, and she wasn't going to give up, even though this judge was such a stinker. Until finally he said, okay, here it is. Here's the justice. You get what you want. Now, don't bother me anymore. But the wonderful contrast of that is what Jesus is saying is, oh my goodness, the most just judge, God, he never tires of you coming. He wants you to come. Keep coming to him. He wants justice to happen. He wants to answer your prayer. He's not cantankerous. He's loving. He's caring. And there will be one wonderful moment when the answer will come. And you might see it, and then like, yah, she didn't see it. Maybe she did in heaven, like you said. But just the contrast of what an earthly judge and our wonderful heavenly Father judge is like. And the whole point of this was she kept coming. She kept coming. You see, Satan never takes a vacation. And he's got new schemes and plans, and you know, for our lives, our kids' lives, and our grandkids' lives. And if we could say it this way, taking a vacation of coming to the most just judge, then there's a lot of things going on that we're allowing Satan to just run rampant in, because we're not taking the privilege and the power of what God has given his body before the throne to receive mercy and grace in time of need.
You really have to be like a watchman on a wall or a sentinel, and somebody who's always vigilant, always keeping guard.
Always vigilant.
You know, and I think another lie of the enemy, not I think, I know, because I've had it in my own life, I think he really especially gets us women in that we don't feel confident. The enemy loves to make us feel like, my prayer can't matter. My little prayer, and I don't even maybe know how to pray. You know, my prayer can't matter. He loves getting us. And that is such a lie, because your prayer, Mom, even if you fumble through it, like she said, you read the word, you just open the word then, your prayer matters. And that's our message as we share with women. Your prayer matters, Mom. And you know, one other thing, I just wanted to encourage all of you, as we're talking about the legacy, I also had a wonderful legacy of a praying great-grandmother, but you know, some of you here in this room are maybe sitting there going, you know, I can't even think of anybody that prayed for me. And I just want to encourage you, it can start with you. You know, think about your grandkids someday going, it was my grandma, you sitting here, she's the one that prayed for me. See, don't settle for that. Don't feel bad about it. Be thankful you're here. And you be the grandma or the great-grandma that begins the legacy. I love that. That's his grace.
Yeah. Through my high school years, I kind of walked my own way. I was raised in a Christian home, and I knew what I was supposed to do and that sort of thing. And I know that it was because of my mom's prayers that God rerouted me. And through her guidance and that sort of thing, through a series of circumstances, I ended up going to Bible college and ended up working in a ministry, and I know that it has largely depended on her, and she is still one of my main prayer warriors. If there's something going on in my life or my kids' lives, she would be one of the first ones I would call.
And now you've got children in formative stages of life.
Yes. Praying for my children has also been something that has been a burden on my heart for years. I've used different materials just to help guide that and to incorporate scripture in the prayers for the children, and I have seen God do some incredible things through that and specific answers also.
Great. Thank you, Tammy. Anyone else? Prayers of a mother or grandmother, yours or somebody else's, that impacted your life?
My mother-in-law is a very, just a real basic, sweet, wonderful, beautiful Christian lady, and she's been a praying warrior. When my in-laws had their 50th anniversary, each of the five children said one thing that they appreciated about each parent, and all five children said they appreciated the prayers of their mother. All the children and many of the grandchildren have been involved in ministry of some sort, you know, in the years that have followed. But my husband talks about seeing his mother on her knees and, you know, all times of the day and night. And she's just a beautiful, almost childlike, simple woman, but prayer is her strong point. She's got, I think, 35 grandchildren, and I think in the 70s of great-grandchildren now.
Wow, praise the Lord. You know, as you're sharing, Mary, I'm thinking of the story of Augustine, who was one of the greatest theologians of all time, and but for many years was very far from the Lord and had a praying mother, Monica, and
it seemed for so many years that not only were her prayers not being answered, but her son seemed to be going the opposite direction. He was immoral. He was living this profligate lifestyle. And then he ran away to Rome, and she was praying that he would not. And it just seemed at point after point that whatever she was praying was not what was happening. But it was while he was in Rome that God got his attention and brought him to faith and transformed his life and made him one of the great church fathers, one of the greatest Christian leaders of all time. And you think, aren't you glad that Monica didn't stop praying before he came to faith? Now, God can do his will with or without mothers, and we're glad for that. But in God's providence and his sovereignty, he has ordained that one of the means of grace for reaching the next generation is through the prayers of moms and dads. And you just think, you know, we can be a part of that, of laying hold of God. And it's mystery. We don't know, you know, it's not like this one-to-one correspondence. You pray and all of a sudden it happens. A lot of times there are years. How many of you are still, you have a child or daughter, a son or daughter or grandchild that you are still really heavy-hearted for, and the light hasn't been turned on yet. You haven't seen yet the answers to what you're praying. Let me see some hands here. Lots and lots of hands. And I think maybe the word of encouragement here, a word of encouragement, is don't get weary in doing well. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep laying hold of God. And believe that, realize the last chapter has not been written, that God is still writing that story, and your prayers are an important part of that story he is writing.
All of us as moms get discouraged sometimes. The tough work day after day can be draining. Nancy Lee DeMoss has been helping us see how valuable our prayers are. Nancy's been talking with Marley Gritter, a mom who's learned the value of prayer. And she's been talking to Fern Nichols, president and founder of Moms in Touch International. Fern will be a speaker at True Woman 08, October 9th through 11th. You can get more details about that important national women's conference at reviveourhearts.com. One issue moms need to pray for is finances. At Revive Our Hearts, we pray for finances as well. Here's Nancy.
As you and your family work through your monthly finances, I know there's some times where you have to make some tough budget decisions. Well, believe it or not, we go through the same thing at Revive Our Hearts. And I was saddened recently to hear from a listener who emailed us and said, "I just wanted to tell you that I will miss your program. I heard on the radio yesterday that it was no longer going to be on." She went on, "We're a homeschooling farm family, and every morning after breakfast and getting the kids started on their work, I take my cup of coffee and head for the bedroom. Then I just sit and absorb all I can from your program. You don't know how many days it has rescued me." She said, "I teach a young woman's Bible study, and I use so many of the things I hear. Thank you so much for the way you have allowed God to use you. I treasure all the things I have learned in our time together." Now, I say I was saddened. Actually, I was happy to read how God has used the ministry in that woman's life. But I was saddened because I know that we had to make the difficult decision to go off the air in that woman's area, and knowing we won't be able to provide that kind of support and encouragement in her life in the future. There are certain markets where financial constraints don't allow us to stay on the air. And a lot of factors play into those decisions, including how often we hear from those in a particular community. So we need to hear from you. We need listeners in your community to help make Revive Our Hearts possible. Would you allow us to continue ministering in your area by making a donation to Revive Our Hearts? This ministry is funded through the gifts of our listeners, and your donation will help us continue bringing biblical truth to women in your area who need to hear it. So call us with your donation, 1-800-569-5959. That's 800-569-5959. Or donate online at reviveourhearts.com.
Thanks, Nancy. In the story of the prodigal son, the father was out watching for his wayward offspring. If someone has a prodigal today, is there anything they can be doing besides watching and waiting? Get some wise advice tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.